Arte da ascoltare. Radio Papesse al Festival dell'Arte Contemporanea. Natasha Sadr Aghighian non è un'artista semplice da presentare. Ama confondere le carte in tavola e parte del suo lavoro riflette sull'idea di identità, condivisione, possesso e copia. Qual è il lavoro dell'artista? Qual è il ruolo dell'artista? Invece di compilare la sua biografia, la Aghighian ha creato bioswap.net, un sito nel quale artisti ed altri operatori culturali possono prendere in prestito, scambiare e compilare curriculum. Un progetto in corso dal 2004. L'abbiamo incontrata a Faenza in un bar affollato e insieme abbiamo parlato di copia, di diritto di proprietà, di simboli, di riferimenti e di cosa ruota intorno al lavoro dell'artista.
If I want the easy way out, I would just say I'm an artist, which I really feel is a very stupid thing to say, and I don't even know what that means. So I, for myself, it sounds totally silly, but that would be the lazy answer, you know. And then people would say, are you a painter? If I want to engage in discussion, I would probably not mention art as the first thing, because it actually doesn't mean that much to me. It's really about a search how to participate in the society and how to make sense. As I'm supposed to introduce myself, I'm gonna introduce Bioswap instead, which is a web-based platform for people to exchange and assemble their bios if they want to. It's a practice that I've been doing for a long time because I don't publish my bio, and I thought that it might be something that would be interesting for other people as well. So I created this internet platform together with friends. So what you can do there is you can borrow a CV from an archive of CVs. You can also put your CV there if you want to, and if you want to put it up for exchange. And what we normally do is we write underneath, you know, this CV is borrowed from Bioswap, so that it's not about cheating or anything. It's more about this process of making this anyway redundant information more redundant, and to make fun of it in a way that it becomes more amusing, more entertaining, but also undermining the structures underneath. You know, like, what does it actually mean if somebody had an exhibition here or there, or is born here or there, or is born in that year or that year? So it's basically, this is one part of Bioswap. The other part is actually to really be able to compile a CV. I think everybody can imagine, you know, that you have times in your life when you're not so productive, or you have been sick or depressed or something, and you have this empty field in your bio and you want to fill it up so it doesn't look so ugly. And that's where we ask institutions to provide their name so that you can use it to fill up these gaps, so you can actually, with official permission from that institution, you can use their name to say, I had an exhibition, or I had taken part in such and such festival in that institution, and you can put it in your CV. So that's the two parts of Bioswap. I often have discussions with curators who think that, you know, the CV is important and that it should be an information that should be provided, and that everybody should be the same in this section of especially in catalogs. Curators are very eager. Some of them are very eager to have, you know, a certain standardization for everyone. So sometimes, I mean, but this is not surprising, and it's precisely what the project is trying to do, to raise a discussion. Because what happens then is, like, the curator asks, like, can we please not do this, or can we do it in a different way? And then we would start a discussion, like, and I would explain why I think this is necessary. And I always, I mean, it's also part of a, you know, it's partly a trick, where I would normally never argue with, you know, this is an artwork. But here I would use that. I would say, this is part of my work. You can't, you know, if you tell me not to do this, you're interfering with my work. So it's kind of funny to play with that, you know, where they suddenly say, oh, it's part of your work. Oh, okay, then, you know, excuse me. But it's basically to really to challenge the system and to play with the system and to not take these conventions and these norms for granted. Because I don't think there's anybody who feels particularly, you know, comfortable with the notion of CVs. It's precisely this idea of the commons and to claim, you know, each part of the field that we work in as the commons. Because the whole notion of, you know, the solo artist, which is created also through, you know, formats like the CV, is a myth. And it's a myth that creates a certain value that is unique, you know, in terms of measurement, what an artwork is worth and what an artist is worth and all these things. These notions have to do with the myth that is created around the solo artist, which in my opinion is complete bullshit, because there is no such thing as a solo artist. Nobody produces work alone. You know, everybody exchanges with friends, collaborates, you know, has people who helps them, and all these things that always influence what you do, you know. And so I think the notion of the commons that exists anyways, but it's not, you know, it's being ignored. It's constantly being ignored in favor of the idea of the myth of the solo artist in order to keep up and to protect the value of art on the market, which I think is nothing that should be protected. But what should be, you know, claimed is precisely these commons. I think that it's always problematic to have these categories of political art or social art, and especially if it's about work that talks about social topics or talks about political topics. I think that even though, you know, the motivation might be, you know, very, very right and very important, I'm not so sure about whether the effect that such work has is really so interesting. I think that, you know, if you want to talk about the social, then you have to investigate within the situation that you're part of, that you're participating in, and that you are partly also co-creating, and to see what are the social factors, what is the social potential in there, and how can you participate it, how do you want to participate in it. And so I think most issues that, you know, are social issues in, you know, like power structures, for example, hierarchies or distribution of wealth, distribution of power, all these things that create, you know, that structure the social fabric, they exist within every section of the bigger structure. So when you work within your field, first of all, you have to observe it within that field and within your own practice. And I totally believe that the social exists within that and not necessarily within choosing a social topic for your work.
Mushrooms grow on organic materials such as wood chips or acorns.
I work with very concrete, you know, materials. So what I refer to, what I work with is that if I work with an apple, it's an apple, and the potential meanings that this apple can have is completely variable. depending on the context. So, you know, a symbol that seems to be very clear in a certain context could be a completely different one in another one. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, the symbol of the apple as a symbol of the Bible or a symbol of, you know, of the sin. This is a European reading. You could have other readings, and I'm probably not European enough to be based within one symbolism, and that's why symbolism in itself, to me, is completely, it's a multiplicity of systems that you can apply to, you know, to a thought, you can apply it to an object, you can apply it to a work, but I would never do that. I would just see and observe what the objects do with each other, and I would also be open to, you know, to other interpretations, but I don't choose the object because of a specific symbolic meaning or value that it has. I just don't think that way. I can't really think of any object that is not abstract in one way or another, you know, because it's, there's always a system of reference that incorporates objects, and you can take very simple objects and they will become points of references for a variety of, you know, of systems, symbolic systems, metaphorical systems, referential systems, and in many ways, and it's nothing that you can control. And I'm not interested in controlling that by claiming this is a symbol of so and so, you know. This is not interesting. I mean, the interesting thing is that any object that we, or any thought, you know, any idea, anything that we deal with has this potentiality of being a point of reference. It's really interesting to do these exercises where you put up a system that makes you think about these points of references, but in a multiplicity of ways. I'm not the person who tells you which system of reference to use. That would be mad. It's not that a work is finished once you put it out there. That's where it actually starts, and that's where you also start to learn from it in conversation with other people, and, you know, in conversation with the work, where the work starts talking back to you, and where you are also just, you know, one person, you know, among other people who start thinking about this proposition. So it's a process. And with some projects, you know, it continues for a long time. Sometimes you rediscover a certain discussion. And I don't think that any of these go away. You know, sometimes, you know, some thoughts are more active than others. But I think these are all proposition to be discussed and not to, just, you know, solid claims of, you know, saying this means this forever and ever. I don't think this is possible or interesting, maybe. Well, there's actually different types of pain involved. But first of all, they have to do with the, you know, very practical facts of producing a work that you mostly have to deal with institutions that have their own, you know, rules and regulations and their own ways of doing things, you know, starting with a deadline. I mean, a deadline is a painful thing. There's nobody who can tell me that a deadline is not painful, you know. Of course, it challenges you to, or it forces you to do something. And in that sense, as Walt Disney famously said, at some point. It's the most creative tool that we have. That might be true, you know, but it's painful. You know, you're in the middle of a thought, and you have to force yourself to put it through this, you know, this hole in the needle. It has to go through there. It's very narrow, and it doesn't fit, you know. And you always have to clip it here, so that it fits. And this is a painful process. It's an editing process, basically, as in, you know, like in an experimental movie where you have 30 hours of film material, and you know that your film in the end will just be 30 minutes, and you can never put all the material in there. So it's partly the pain of working with administrational realities, and partly also this, you know, consolidating your thoughts in a way that you feel you will never be able to, it will never be appropriate to the topic that you're dealing with. It will always be a failure, and that's also painful. But as I always think that there is definitely something as productive failure, this is included, you know. It's only an exercise, it's only a proposition which you put out, and it can easily be a failure, and sometimes it's a productive failure, sometimes not, but that's it. But you go through the pain anyway. I'm not sure whether I would use sabotage. I mean, maybe in terms of, you know, the way that there's this almost like a sort of gravity that you tend to just go with the flow or stick to the norm and say, yeah, well, you know, just let's do it this way, whatever, you know. And maybe it's if there's something to sabotage, then it's the whatever within you, you know, this gravity that you would give in to propositions or to things that that you would like to take for granted just because it's more comfortable and because it makes things easier. And then to say no, you know, let's look at this more carefully and let's look at what it actually says and does and what it proposes. And this is always an effort to do this. It's a necessary effort in my eyes, but you need to overcome a certain sense of gravity or a certain sense of, you know, maybe also laziness. I'm a very lazy person, so I have to, like, you know, come on, let's do this.
Appena ascoltato una produzione di Radio Papesse. Il servizio è gratuito, ma tutto quello che senti ha dei costi di produzione. Se vuoi aiutarci a sostenerli, vai sul sito www.radiopapesse.org e clicca su Sostieni. Basta davvero poco.